from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome to the GoodAtheist.net bonus podcast. My name is Jacob Forte.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
And today we're going to be talking about a couple things that have been pissing me off.
Just a random grab bag of pissery.
Yep, exactly. It's just one of those... It'll either be we're being really mean or we're being even meaner. So that's basically how this one's going to be. So if you were in the mood for something really sinister and vitriolic and just hate-filled, this is your show.
Yeah, this is going to be a special for you. And on that note, are we going to start right off and talk about those Chilean miners?
Yeah. I just want to cover the topics that we're going to go through before we start the show, so that everybody's listening.
Always with
I put a list. Okay. And this time I'm going to make sure that I stick with that list.
It's like, and then we will be doing this, and this, and this.
Yeah, but people like that. They ask for it. They're like, can you at least cover the topics at the beginning of the show? You'd be surprised how many people are just like, maybe those are not my topics. And we still want to cater to those that only partially love us.
True.
Only listen to half of what we say.
Well, just the interesting stuff. If we're going to be talking about, I don't know, like Martin Luther, they might be like, boring.
Right. Protestant Reformation kind of thing.
Exactly.
You just like, tune the fuck out. All right, fine. We won't have any of that. Here's the first topic. We're going to be talking about the Chilean miners thanking God instead of, you know, people actually did shit. We're also going to be talking about an atheist in Iowa that was murdered over a religious dispute, and it seems as though everybody's kind of casually ignoring that. We're also going to be talking about the Tony Blair, Christopher Hitchens debate thing and how I'm no longer going to be able to go there. You'll find out soon enough. And lastly, we're going to just... rip Insane Clown Posse, anyone. They came out recently as Christians, and we it seems as though there's a bit of a divide as to whether or not people believe it or don't believe it, so we'll be talking about that.
Yeah, we're basically going to shoot the fish in that barrel.
Exactly. We're going to take easy pot shots today. So yeah, let's start first with the Chilean miners, because I know, now first of all, before you say anything about it, because I have a general feeling of where you're going to take this, you have to understand that some people who are listening, or even many of the people who are listening, are still touched by that story.
No, absolutely. And this is the whole thing, is that it's a great fucking story. It's a story of human determination and sacrifice and you know, being stuck in a hole for a really long time and that really sucking. But there's also a lot going on. Everybody just talking about God in the situation. Just thank God.
Well,
that's
really what it's kind of turned into, actually. This is the crazy thing. I mean, you have the basic story that, if you haven't been following, essentially, let's just cover it. 33 men were trapped.
If you yourself have been living in a hole for the past 30 days.
Right, for the past 30 days. If you've been living in a hole, 30 days ago, they found... these Chilean miners that had survived a collapse, I can't pronounce this.
Chile, who cares?
It's in Chile, god damn it. Copaipo. That's the best I can do.
Thank you for sharing that nonsense word that you cannot pronounce with us.
Okay, so they were trapped about 700 meters underground, They were essentially just, how many days ago? Just yesterday or the day before?
Yeah, it was yesterday.
Yesterday, the 13th of October, they finally pulled out the last miner using this crazy little shuttle thing that they sent down. They dug a hole, basically, and sent kind of like a metal condom and just dragged people back up in it. I that's the best way I can describe it. Metal condom, does that work?
It works okay.
Okay.
I would, you know, it was like a
metal
tube.
Tampon. Maybe.
A tube.
Yeah,
a tube
tampon.
Works too.
I just want to give people an impression of what it looks like. It looks like a tampon, like a metal tampon.
Yeah.
So, that's the story. So they get rescued. Everybody's crying. They're just like, oh my goodness, especially when they found out how they actually survived, which was pretty damn crazy. You know, drinking contaminated water, eating tiny portions every day to make, like, the 3 or 4 day ration last, like, 17 days.
Well, plus a lot of them had to lose a bunch of weight because they were like, look, we're going to dig this hole to get you guys out of here, but it's not going to be a big hole, and you have to be a certain weight to get in, so...
No fatties at this party.
And you know, Figure an American heartland truck driver or general miner, and imagine their body type, and you can figure that there's probably some Chilean dudes down there who are not tube shaped. They're more like brick shaped.
I don't know. They've probably been in the mine ever since they were babies, so they haven't seen a lot of sun. Who knows? Maybe their bones kind of grew weirdly from lack of vitamin D. Just an idea. I'm just putting that out there. The Chilean hell mines. On a side note, I do want to point out that mining incidents in Chile is no news. On average, about like 35 people die every year of mining-related incident because there's so many mines there, and they're so all very unsafe. Ironically, this particular mine where it happened was not one of the unsafe ones. Strangely enough, but or say one of the more egregiously unsafe ones, because it was still unsafe, but not as bad as the other ones where people regularly die. So, I just want to put that out there. You know, anybody who's again probably on that hot God bandwagon. What about the 33 every year that die in those damn mines that don't get rescued?
What about the miners in Virginia that also didn't get?
Yeah,
saved?
Not a one there, not a one.
But my big issue with it was mainly just the fact that this is all they've been talking about, and you know, it's an angle, it's a realistic angle, because let me tell you what, when you're down in a hole for 30 days, wondering if just one day the air will, like, stop and you will just die, then, you know, it's kind of like a foxhole thing, and while there are atheists in foxholes, as we know, a lot of people tend to turn to God when they're face-to-face with death. So a lot of the guys down there got uber-religious, and when they came up, they were all thanking God. But at the same time, there just seems to be a complete lack of attention towards the rescue effort itself. As if
it's been forgotten almost. And I remember I tweeted about this. And then a whole bunch of people were saying, like, oh, because I said I thought it was rather insulting to the rescue workers when you're just thanking God. You're like, clearly the rescuers who did something. Because they literally did something. They dug a hole. They got them out of there. It didn't require any magical force that suddenly made it happen. This is human beings making it happen. And so I post up this tweet. It was shortened, of course. And then somebody else was saying, well, they were just thanking God for the rescuers. Hey, eliminate the middleman that doesn't exist. How about that, huh? How about you thank the workers? Or there was an interview with a guy called Ben Sherwood on Fox News. And he writes about survival, essentially. He wrote a book that I actually kind of want to read, Survival Stories. It's just basically talking about all these different people and the crazy shit that happened and how they survived. And he tries to find kind of something they have in common. His idea, of course, that the thing that they all have in common, and this is what he was trying to put forward, is the idea that belief in God is the most important thing for survival, because this essentially allows weak people to be strong, and people can turn to God and have hope, and that's essential when you're trying to survive, which I think is rather like a distortion of the word hope itself, right? You can hope for something to happen, and it's not a religious thing. Like, I hope that you're not going to murder me in the night.
You hope I'm not going to throw this beer bottle top at you, which I am.
No!
I missed.
There is no hope.
Well, then, you know what? You just got some hope. Thank God I missed you.
Thank him. Thank him so much for your shitty aim, for giving you bad eyesight. No, what I was trying to say is that basically, look, I don't disagree that a survival strategy when you're stuck in a fucking mine for, oh, I don't know, 2 months might be to have a little bit of hope that you will be rescued. Otherwise, why don't you just take your face and bash it against the wall until there's nothing left? But that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to believe in an invisible sky daddy to have hope. They got rescued because human beings are awesome sometimes and they can fucking get it done. So if you had any hope that you needed to have, it's like, geez, I hope these humans are skillful. And luckily they were, but not very well thanked.
I don't know. My whole thing is I have no problems with the miners turning to religion. I mean, when you're, as I said, when you're down there and you don't know what's going on, you want to create a situation where if you die, there's going to be something after. It's a whole fucking fantasy that you build up in your mind so that you're able to cope with that many days of thinking that you're going to die. So I have no problem with anything like that. It's just
the media circus?
The media circus. You know, even that, it's another thing. This is a situation where we understand, but we're going to bitch about it anyways. People need a gimme. There has not been a lot of positive news in the media lately, especially with the political fucking elections coming up in America. So this is something that feels quote-unquote pure, and it just... I don't know, as an atheist, I'm grumpy at the fact that there's just such disregard for the actual work that went into rescuing these guys. Like science has been completely discounted because, oh, it took so long to get them out. Fuck science. Science failed them.
Why can't it be faster? Yeah? Why can't it be more true than it is right now? We don't seem to be doing well enough, and I therefore dislike science.
Science gets all the losses, but it never gets its wins. God always steals its wins.
Oh my God, so many times. Just how many times really is an invisible man being thanked for something that he did not do? Well, Thanksgiving is a good example. He didn't do shit. Didn't do shit, but you're still going to thank him. People who win awards, and they're like, I want to thank Jesus, first of all. Why? Was he there? Did he make the music for you, huh?
Sporting events.
Oh, sporting events. Did he catch the ball at any time? Was there anything that involved him? No. No, but he gets credit. And this is just another one of those things. I thought, you know, like, in terms of the media circus, the reason why this media circus is abound is because... sometimes I like to think about religion in terms of the way you look at a market, right? The way you look at economics. And I think that right now, people that are in the market of faith see this as what I would term a high arbitrage opportunity. Now, arbitrage is usually in economic terms notated as something where you're making an unusual amount of profit. I would argue that for the faithful, it's an unusual amount of people that you can convert with this kind of story. Because everybody wants that story to sound, well, exactly the way they want it to sound. Oh, these people were trapped, they prayed to God, God sent people rescued them, but forget about the people, the real champion here is God, who somehow, you know, he coordinated everything from his invisible room. In the firmament.
Well, I mean, and even, you know, if you take a look at being a religious person, I'm sure, you know, you close your eyes to a lot of this if you're a religious person, but the news cycle is not exactly being kind to them. This past year has been dealing with practically nothing but the fact that the Pope has been harboring child molesters and hiding that shit forever, and there's just been nothing but bad news associated people are starting to realize that there's a lot of bullshit going on because of religion, and it's all getting printed in our evil, godless media. So this is one of those things where you really got to grab onto it and squeeze it for all it's worth. And I just think it's a little bit shitsy. I mean, let's all celebrate the fact that these guys got out alive, and you know, but let's also acknowledge the fact that it was people that did it. It's a people story.
It's 100% people related.
Stop shifting it over to God.
Please, let's just talk about the fact that it's people. But, I mean, that's not the way it goes. The one thing that I really thought was kind of funny, too, in that interview with the Ben Sherwood guy that I was telling you about, was the fact that he was saying also that, the notion that there is a God is comforting to people, and it's easier to survive that way. And I think that it's really funny because people always try to use that as the primary defender of religion. They're like, well, it makes people feel better. And I just said, well, you know what? Believing in Santa makes Christmas better, okay? But eventually we just have to be honest about the fucking truth. Just because it makes something feel better certainly doesn't make it true. It's probably the opposite. It's probably not true because it feels so damn good. It's like, wow, heaven, let's see, does that sound like a good thing? Sure it does, I guess. I mean, it's pretty fucking nebulous in Christianity. And in Islam, heaven just sounds like a place that, I don't know, an 8th century desert guy would really dig, but I'm just not impressed.
It doesn't even sound as good as Disney World.
It's fucking, what, rivers of honey? Who cares? Sure, honey's great. Not my cup of tea, man. Water everywhere. Sweet. Am I going to be thirsty in heaven? I mean, just ridiculous, right? Just fucking ridiculous. But it sounds like a nice resort hotel, all right? That's what it sounds like to me. And sure, I go there when I die, so technically I don't have to pay money. So it's a free resort hotel.
Nice.
Jeez, that sounds really great. Is it true, though, man? It's like, We're not having a conversation about how great the idea would feel if it was true. We're just having that fucking bummer conversation of, oh wait, is it true? Turns out that it's a fucking fantasy. Sorry. But like I said before, I mean, a person could turn around and say, hey, you're a cynic. You don't believe in anything that's good, and you would have no hope if you were trapped somewhere like those miners. Are you fucking kidding me? Like I said, they got rescued, man. If we fucking did it. We did it, man. It's kind of like, you know, that Apollo 13 movie? We did it. And
don't thank
do
God.
It again.
Thank NASA.
Always thank NASA. I think that's the lesson of that. Okay, you want to move on?
Yeah. Right, I feel bad bagging about that story to a certain degree. I just wanted to put that piece out there.
I think, well, we had a few requests over Twitter for people wanted us to talk
about
it.
A lot of people were talking about it. There's some frustration.
I'm hopefully that speech made you feel better, gave you the little tinglies, you know, because, yeah, I was pissed too when I was listening to that shit. Kind of pissed. But, hey, we move on, right? Have the diatribe. Moving on. Next diatribe in today's hate-filled radio show is the fact that a 16-year-old atheist by the name of James Doyle was murdered back in June. And I want to talk about this story for two reasons. I think the first reason that I want to talk about it is that not a lot of people are talking about it. They're not talking about it in the kind of way that I think we should be talking about it, which is the fact that this is I don't want to say a religiously motivated murder, but it involved religion. It involved a religious conflict, the result of which ended Doyle's life. And the crazy thing about it is because the murderer himself is 14, he is probably going to spend like 3 years in juvenile hall, and that's going to be it. So obviously Doyle's family just fucking grieving as shit, losing their minds because he's not being tried as an adult. Which is a conversation we can have a little bit in a little bit about what we think should happen, but I was reading some of the history of this kid, and it looked like he was pretty fucking disturbed.
Yeah, because let's lay this out. Here's what happened. You got your Christian kid, you got your atheist kid. They're good friends, and they're having a sleepover unsupervised. And there's a shotgun lying around, you know, where this is already going to a good place. Yeah. And they start arguing about religion, and the religious kid shoots the non-religious kid in the chest with the shotgun and kills him over that argument. So
two apes got into an argument.
Firearms were nearby, and surprise, somebody died. What a shocker. This, because, you know, obviously, I know you want to really talk about the religious angle to it. To me, it's more of a tragedy. It's just a tragedy involving young kids and firearms.
It's true that I think it is really kind of the root of that particular story. But the one thing that I just found was that kind of pissed me off is, let's just pretend that the opposite had happened and where the media focus would have been on this. You know, immediately you realize that they would just be looking for an opportunity like this to bash atheism, saying, this atheist killed this Christian. I mean, let's just flip it around for like 5 seconds here, right? Say that a minority belief, an atheist, has an argument with the majority, a Christian, over religion and is shot and shoots the Christian in the chest.
Yeah, I mean, one of the interesting things about the story is the fact that there's, like, when I'm saying that there's very little coverage about it, I'm talking about if you type these two people's names, the two kids that were involved, into Google, it's not even a page worth of of replies. There's barely anything out there about what happened, and that's a little bit weird, I guess.
Yeah, this is the kind of news that would have normally been kind of headline. But like you said before, right, the religious right has been kind of taking some blows. You know, you have the whole sandwich of ridiculousness when it comes to, say, with the primaries in the U.S. and just the degree of homophobia and bigotry that's come out of the right is just insane. Like, we'll admit that it's not been at this level for how long? For like 20 years. That candidates have literally come forward saying that gay teachers should be able to teach,
homosexuality is, unnatural.
They want to make homosexual sex illegal, which it actually is in a lot of states, by the way. Even there are sodomy laws in a few American states, at least. So, and by the way, sodomy, for all of those of you who actually think it's just anal sex, it incorporates both oral and even just hand job is sodomy. Non-reproductive sex, which is a lot of the good stuff, is sodomy. So those are what the laws are.
Between the boobs, even between the legs, if you're down with that, like in between your toes, up your nose, in your ear.
I have to wonder if actually teabagging is sodomy, though. You know? Teabagging?
I'm not sure. Does it? If it might need to involve the stem, not the roots. You know what I mean?
There could be if it's teabagging with rubbing. If the rubbing is there, because it's not genital contact. It's genital rubbing.
God will know when He sees it.
He'll let you know by making you burn in hell for all eternity.
Indeed.
That's what He'll do. Yeah. So. I guess from the point of view of saying, like, look, this is not just merely, I'm not going to just say, oh, all of a sudden it's entire, like, it's this crazy Christian who decides to kill all, you know, like an atheist out of premeditation or that kind of stuff. And I think you're right. It's just a situation where what happens when young hormonal kids are unsupervised and there are guns about and they have arguments. And we all know how fucking religious arguments go, you know, especially with people who have vested interest in their beliefs. Like, I would not turn to violence regarding a debate merely because I don't have that much vested in the idea. I mean, I don't have to worry about my eternal soul or any of these other ridiculousness that religionists have to constantly be fucking worried about. So when I'm having a discussion with them and I potentially throw them a goddamn logical mindfuck that makes them question their own beliefs, then they could probably get pretty mad because they feel like, dude, you just mind-fucked me and now I'm going to go to hell. So it could, those things can turn violent. My problem is really just more from the perspective that if it was the opposite situation, we would not be hearing the end of this. Never. And the fact that it's just been buried is because that could have easily been something that we we could have just used ourselves. And let's not fucking pretend that we don't play the same dirty-ass game, all right? We do. All right, fuck off. We totally do. And I'm cool with it. They play that fucking game, I'm going to play it. I'm not asking everybody to, but we're going to play a little dirty here. Fucking guys will do... I mean, you have no idea how they fucking try to smear us on a daily basis. Or maybe you do, you know? Somebody definitely listening saying, in my country, whenever they mention the word atheist, it's usually followed with devil horns and... And everyone is told to stay away from you because you have no morals. It's like, yeah, I think that's a little bit of slander there. This is what we have to fucking deal with. And meanwhile, our own side is saying, you need to be nice. You know, just don't be mean. Don't tell anyone that...
Don't bring up anything. Don't rock the boat.
Yeah. Well, we're going to keep rocking the boat because that shit upsets me. Speaking of people who rock the boat, Christopher Hitchens coming to Toronto November 26th to have a debate with Tony Blair. And I think many of you remember that the last podcast, I was all like, I'm going to be there and I want to...
Meet up with everybody, have a lot of fun, yeah. And rock and roll all night and party every day.
And then the day that the tickets go on sale, it's fucking sold out.
You know, sold out immediately. This is the Christopher Hitchens See You Later tour. And like, not in heaven.
No, it's like See You Never tour.
Yeah,
that's what that is.
Yeah,
and I mean, I'm disappointed. I'll be honest about that. It was my last fucking chance, and I'm sure that's what everybody else thought, who was just like, I need to buy a motherfucking ticket. So I feel dumb for not even having foreseen the impossibility of getting a fucking ticket.
You know, I will say this: it's not like it's really hard to get a glimpse or meet the guy outside of the show. If you want to meet him, you can still do it. You just might not get into that show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like he's on your list of people that you want to meet before he dies.
Yeah, but it's not going to happen. Everybody's going to have the same idea. What the fuck makes me different from every other Yahoo that wants to go over and say, Christopher Hitchens, you were awesome. Please talk to me for 5 minutes. You could just read me a recipe, and I would just like to hear you say it.
What, as far as, I don't think you get to talk to him for 5 minutes, but if you want to meet him and shake his hand and get him to sign a book and just say, you were a huge influence for me as an atheist, then you could do that. I don't know if you feel
I might try. I don't know. I'd have to scope things out. Again, it's...
Well, just the fact that the tickets are already gone, and it's day one, and everybody's talking about it.
And plus, the other reason I wanted to see is because I hate Tony Blair with a passion. His Tony Blair Faith Foundation is stupid, and I hate him.
Well, Tony Blair is a butt monkey.
He is a fucking butt monkey. Ah, God. Anyways. It's just one of those things where you wanted to see a person that you respect greatly just lay the smack down, probably for the last time. And you're just like, fuck! He was, and I was even going to Toronto just to visit a friend. It just ended up coinciding, and I was like, that's fucking awesome. Like, I don't even have to make plans beyond what plans I had already made.
So you're actually going to be in, you're going to be in Toronto anyways.
I'm going to be in Toronto, yeah, that weekend and probably a few days before and after. I got a friend who's moving into a new house, so I'm going to go help him move and just chill out with him for a couple days.
Mm-hmm.
So, a bit of a Toronto excursion. I'll probably be sending a shout-out to people having at least one night where we can go and...
talk about atheism over beers,
which
is always
many beers.
Fun.
Over many, many beers.
This is one of those things that, like, you know, we were talking about the atheist convention before, and the one thing that I was very sad that they did not have was just...
cheap beer?
Cheap beer, but a place for everybody to converge and drink beer together and talk about, you know, stuff. Like, kind of back in the day, with the old days of the coffee house, like in the 18th and 19th century... They would gather and talk about topics, and there would be, like, fucking set topics that would be discussed at different times, and it would just be an open forum, and everyone would get together, get completely blitzed on caffeine, talk about fucking politics and taxes and philosophy and everything else, and then go home and beat their wives.
The coffee houses. They were madness.
That's why the women were saying, ban the coffee houses.
Oh, yeah.
These men are out of control.
Temperance leagues.
They come back from the coffee house, and they're all freaking zazzed out.
You know, it's really funny. I put a link on one of my articles to the Temperance League, which were the ones that were responsible for Prohibition in the 20s and 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And they have since become kind of another organization which tries to...
Like with a proper, like, just like the ACLPO,
yeah,
and they've
exactly.
got like a fucking logo that looks like, I don't know, like two lines
legitimate,
and a stick
legitimate.
Figure.
And their mandate now is to kind of like, we just teach people that they need to prohibit alcohol themselves and that kind of stuff. But don't kid yourself. They would like to... eliminate, is it the 24th Amendment that cancels the 18th? Oh, I don't even remember. that's the funny thing about prohibitionism. They create an amendment for it, and then they create an amendment, another amendment later on that cancels that amendment. So technically, you could cancel the amendment that cancels the amendment, and then bam, prohibition.
Lovely.
It's just one fucking law away, man, for all this pointless moralization. But yeah, anyways. I thought it's funny that those kinds of prohibitionists never really go any. They never leave. They're always around. They'll always try to tell you how to live your fucking lives. No coffee for you. No alcohol for you. And no weed for you. You can't have any pleasure in life. Speaking of lots of drugs, I had a Twitter follower who asked me to talk about the Insane Clown Posse. By the way, if you're wondering why I'm talking about it, Twitter quite a bit, is because I'm trying to use it as a strategy to talk to you guys more about the show, particularly the bonus portions, because before we do the show, we want to ask you guys what you'd like for us to talk about, because you guys listen to the fucking show. It only seems sense.
Yeah, it only seems right that you'd be able to give us, you know, suggestions as to what you'd like to hear.
Yeah, and you know what? Doing it in the comment section of the website is probably too long for most people who are just... You know, they listen to this thing on their phone, they fucking...
Check the site once a week.
Right.
Which is reasonable.
It's fine, I mean, but Twitter is more advantageous to do a one-on-one communication with you guys, so I'm going to be using it a lot more for the bonus shows, so please...
We were using it before, and we were having a lot of fun, but we were using this program called TweetDeck that just fucking broke.
Oh, so balls.
Now we're using Hootsuite.com, and it's awesome.
I know.
So it made
tweeting fun again.
Exactly. So we'll be back on that and talking to people and having some time.
Also, if you are... once the bonus shows at the end of October go back behind the patron wall, you can use Twitter as well whenever I make the announcement that the fact that the bonus shows have been put up. If you guys want to listen to the bonus shows for free. Remember how I always had that, hey, message me if you want the show for free? We'll just do it through Twitter. It'll be easier.
It'll be an option.
It'll be a fucking option. So, okay, He wants us to talk about Insane Clown Posse.
Because here's the deal. The Insane Clown Posse just
came out
recently and said that... Here's the thing about the Insane Clown Posse, and I've been following up on them for a while, even before that Miracle song, because they fascinate me. And they've got this thing...
How do they fascinate you? They fascinate you because they're terrible?
They fascinate me because they have an entire... It's like a scene or a cult that's built up around them, and they have a thing every year in Illinois called the Gathering of the Juggalos. And the Juggalos are Insane Clown Posse fans, and everybody gets together and wears the fucking makeups and acts like a moron. This year, who were they throwing rocks and shit at? They were throwing shit at Tila Tequila, who came there to perform. And she even, like, performed shirtless, like, completely topless, boobs out and everything, and they were still chucking, like, just crap at her. Tom Green came out and tried to do, like, a wacky dance, and they just pelted him with stuff as well.
here's the thing. They pelted him because he's Tom Green.
Yeah, it did not help the situation. But just in general, like, the whole Juggalo culture and everything like that, because if you start digging into it, you know, this is a meme that's like an onion, and it's got layers and layers, and you can... There's everything from the carnival of the Juggalo carnival every year, which is this massive thing that I must go to once before it gets shut down for someone getting murdered, to videos on YouTube about Juggalos whose babies have died and they have these. It's fucked up.
A cult.
YouTube Juggalos, and you'll understand. So I've been paying attention to them for a while, and from the beginning, they have this whole dark carnival thing that they're doing with their albums, and and the whole idea is over the course of these albums, they'll reveal a secret about the universe, man. Total stoner stuff.
Oh my goodness.
And so now, the secret they're saying is God. God was the message all along of the Dark Carnival. That's what it was all about, was God. So now they're coming out and everybody's saying, holy shit, the Insane Clown Posse were Christians all along.
Well, the funny thing is there's a bunch of polls on the web. Anywhere where they have the story, they will put a poll asking, is this like a Joaquin Phoenix kind of prank here? Like, are they pranking people? And I think it's funny when it's literally split across the middle. Well, mostly also because the polls ask who the fuck is Insane Clown Posse, and you know, a significant portion of people are like, who are these individuals? But nevertheless, those that are aware of them are split down the middle, undecided about whether or not these guys are serious. As far as I understand it, I have been, you know, I did a bit of digging. Is this real? And every, I don't know if they're fans, but yeah, I guess so. Fans, people who have listened to the music, who know what the insanely insipid lyrics, which we will talk about in a few minutes, just say, well, yeah, it's pretty clear. They're God dummies. They're God dummies. I mean, in every sense of the word.
Yeah, don't think that they're Christians in the sense that they follow the Bible or they follow anything about a church. They just have a vague idea of a higher power out there, and I can understand that. That's what most dumb people think. So
well,
why would the Insane Clown Posse think that?
We're going to cover the dumbness of what they have to say with the Miracle songs. I've selected some lyrics.
Oh, yeah, from Miracles. I feel, you know, to a degree.
I know, it feels almost like you're shooting fish in a barrel.
No, not just shooting fish in a barrel. It's kind of like making fun of a kid singing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little
Star.
But
you have to.
How do you not know
retarded. Well, we just have to deal with the fact that they're dumb. They must be more exposed. More shame. More shame. And you know what? It's fucking hilarious. So we're going to cover these lyrics, these serious lyrics, because here's how I look at it, right? Mm-hmm. It's them, every once in a while, every single CD they release, they always have that serious song where they're like, we're going to put our thoughts out there. And to some degree, I kind of dig it. You know, I did that once. If people are hardcore fans, they'll remember one podcast that I recorded, just me, kind of like one of those. It was my Insane Clown Posse, you know, bullshit moment.
It was your Spacey Miracle song?
Yeah, there you go. It was my Spacey Miracle song, talking about an experience in which that I had that I would have described as spiritual if I was religious. But
Or Sam Harris.
Or Sam Harris, right, who seems to like peyote or something. But
that guy, I would love to blow my mind with that
seriously.
Dude.
Seriously. Put that on the bucket list, hey? Fucking take acid with fucking Sam Harris.
I try not to put things on there that I will never achieve.
Yeah, but that's the fun part. You have a bucket list of things you want to do, and the bucket list of ridiculous, ludicrous things that if you actually knock that one out of the park, I mean, you deserve a static ovation.
It's true.
And you know, I always love that idea that if you're gonna do that whole I wanna knock life out of the park, that you just right at the point where it would end, you just say, I fucking slam dunk that bitch.
If I was rich, if I was like, I don't know, one of those sheiks with like their billions of dollars or whatever else like that, I would totally make these ridiculous plans and use all my resources to make them happen.
But you know what's funny? Most billionaires, you know what they're busy doing?
Not spending their money.
Yacht racing. That's what they're obsessed with. Racing yachts. I swear to you, man, that's all they fucking do. Yacht racing. And I'm just like, seriously, guys? You have billions of fucking dollars, could do anything that a human being imagines, and you yacht race for adrenaline rushes and fucking bragging rights. You really are bored, aren't you? You're fucking bored. Anyways, let's talk about some of these Insane Clown Posse lyrics for
so
Miracles.
This is from the Miracles. So.
This is from the Miracles. There's a couple sections that I just wanted to talk about because if you're unfamiliar with the song, it's just basically their whole... Can you help me explain
the,
this?
The world is full of miracles right. Everywhere you look. Life is beautiful, the world is beautiful, and the wonders of the universe are a miracle. And this is my problem with breaking it down. Everybody shit down their throat so hardcore on it. And again, yes, they're idiots, and yes, they get everything wrong, but this was a stupid person trying to express that they had a respect for... the amazingness of the universe, which I can dig.
Yeah, but this is what we're going to try to dig. We're going to read it as though a retarded person who has offered the universe describes the universe for you.
Sure. You can rip it apart from the smart person's point of view, and I'll take pity for the stupidity as the stupid person.
Well,
on the show.
Okay. Well, here's the first lyric that I want to read is just, I like it just because it's ridiculous in the way that it's structured. I mean, this is a fucking song, but we'll cover how terrible their music is maybe a little bit later. Ocean spanning beyond my sight, and a million stars way above them at night. We don't have to be high to look at the sky, and know that that's a miracle opened wide. Look at the mountain trees and seven seas. I mean, like I'm gonna just stop right now because you don't have to be high to look at the sky. Thank you for putting that message out there. No, seriously, actually, no, seriously, I like that. They're just like, stop for 5 seconds, Mr. Smokes a Lot. Just look up at the sky. Hey, I'm down with that. Okay. First lyric's not so bad.
Sure.
Okay. I mean, it's terribly written, but we can see that there's
oh,
some heartbreak.
Oh, la-di-da, Mr. English Professor.
No, I don't even mean it in that way. I mean, I'm just saying, song-wise, did you hear them deliver the lines?
Sure. But you know what? Anybody who incorporates the seven C's into their lyrics is okay.
C's.
But I love that. I'm down with that.
Oh, the seven C's. What I like is that here's this lyric, the short lyric that I quite dig. I've seen shit that'll shock your eyelids, the sun and the moon and even Mars. These are the list of things that he's seen that would shock you. He's seen fucking the sun and the moon and Mars.
But they will only shock you if you really think about it. And that's what he's telling us juggalos to do, man. Think about that shit. Look at it and realize what it is. That's awesome.
Now, speaking of things that will shock you, the Milky Way and fucking shooting stars, UFOs, a river flows, plant a little seed and nature grows, Niagara Falls and the Pyramids. Yeah. I like how all over the place they're like, check out the Milky Way, check out the Pyramids.
I like the impression I have that they have seen Niagara Falls,
right.
But they have not seen
the Pyramids. No, definitely
so
no pyramids.
It's like they're thinking about it, and they include those two because they're like, Niagara Falls was pretty dope. What else is there?
Hey, the fucking Pyramids. Check that out. I also like how they have UFOs in there. It's like, wow, UFOs are miracles. UFOs, really? That's a weird thing to just point out. I mean, of all the things in the sky, UFOs. Okay, whatever, let's keep going. Fucking rainbows after it rains, there's enough miracle here to blow your brains. Yeah, I know, rainbows blow my mind too. You ever see that YouTube video where there's this woman who has a sprinkler set on and it's forming a rainbow and she's like, can you believe all the pollution in the water?
Oh boy.
I'm like, oh, god damn it, nobody knows how a rainbow works? All right, next is... And music is magic, pure and clean. You can feel it and hear it, but it can't be seen. Music is all magic, pure motherfucking magic, right? This shit will blow your fucking mind. Well, actually, yeah, you can see magic. Sorry, you can't see music. It's just that, you know, it's not as visible light, but you can see it. It's a thing. It exists. It's real. It's not just magic. I know that for them, sound is magical. They're like, oh my god, noise. You can't see noise. Yeah, you can't see noise. You ever see one of those oscillators? It sees noise. It fucking moves. It's physical. Noise. All right, next one. Fucking magnets. How do they work?
That's the big famous one.
Wait, yeah, I know. And I don't want to talk to a scientist. Y'all motherfucking lying and getting me pissed. What are you talking about? It's my first question. What are they lying to them about? Are they going to lie to you about how magnets work?
It just shows people's general distrust and disliking of science nowadays. It really is what it comes down to. I read an interview where they were saying scientists ruin stuff. They ruin the wonder of the world, trying to give answers that they say aren't even correct.
I think that Yeats tried to say the same thing about Newton by saying that he had, by unraveling the rainbow, taken away its beauty, you know, by using the prism to show how light is essentially diffracted into its different spectrums, hence the rainbow. And all of a sudden it's like, you're taking the beauty out of a rainbow. You know what, actually? No. Really? No.
There are many levels that you can enjoy things on, and it's much better to be able to enjoy them on a whole multitude, like on just that raw, visceral level, and then on the scientific appreciation level.
I think that for me, whenever I see a rainbow, for instance, and I think to myself, you know what? Rainbows would occur on any other planet in the universe because it's just merely the laws of nature that act in universal ways, right? As long as there's an environment where water can exist in a vapor form and in a liquid form and a solid form, then you can have rainbows. You can have fucking rainbows anywhere. And that ain't no miracle. That's just the laws of fucking physics and how they work. Yeah, talk to a scientist. I know you think they're motherfucking lying to you, but they're probably not going to lie to you about how a magnet works. And figuring that shit out actually makes you realize that, wow, pretty crazy that everything that you experience in your life is just the result of fundamental fucking natural laws. Now, here's another natural law that they seem to be fascinated from. I seen a caterpillar turn into a butterfly. Miracles ain't nothing to lie. Shaggy's little boys look just like Shaggy, and my little boys just look just like Daddy. It's a fucking miracle. My children look like me. I'm like, it's basic genetics, bro. It's in a book. Check it out. If you ever wonder, wow, why do my kids look somewhat like me? We haven't known for that long, to be honest with you. We've known for, you know.
This just goes back to my point, where it's just, they're just like, this is cool. They're trying to love existence, and we just hate. The one song that they're not talking about, like beating up bitches or fucking shooting dogs in the head, and we go out and we just.
Well, we don't care about that because, you know, in a sense, that's performance art as far as I'm fucking concerned. Person doing music, like even their shows sound like massive performance art pieces, right? Where they have people that are like, we just want to be entertaining. We have like this crazy funeral fucking set thing or whatever that they do.
Yeah.
I'm sure showman-wise, they're great. Their music is garbage, but it doesn't always matter, you know? Like, obviously, they put on a show that fucking people enjoy and have a weird cult-like status because of, and, you know, congratulations. You're performance artists. You recognize it as that. But whenever these people try to dabble into something else, and trust me, I don't like retardation being spread around, you know? Like, just absolute inaneness. This is what this song is. This song is so inane that when I watch it, I actually think it's a joke. I tried watching the Saturday Night Live version of it, and it's less funny. I mean, one, because it's Saturday Night Live, but two, just because you literally can't be this crappy without being hilarious. It's just that bad. Whenever they start just saying, how do magnets work? This is a serious line that's in a song that is out there in the world. I feel embarrassed. It's like if an alien species came over and started picking up some of our signals and listened to the Insane Clown Posse. I would be embarrassed for the fucking human race. That's how it is. That's how I feel about the Insane Clown Posse. They embarrass me with this song. I wish they would have just kept with their Dark Carnival and shut the fuck up. I'm fine with that shit. I'm fine with people headbanging and having weird makeup and doing all kinds of crazy shit. That's cool. That's cool by me. But then turning around and because you've had a couple acid trips to decide that you know what the fuck you're talking about when you're literally one of the most ignorant people I've ever heard in my life. Maybe it's that point where you're saying, why don't you read a book first? You can answer some of those questions. Please don't ask them. The answers are available out there. They are out there. They're well documented. Stop asking questions that are already known. Remember that whole there are no stupid questions? The entire song is a stupid question. Just dumb from the beginning to the end. I didn't even read all the lines because it's just long. It's a long song of idiocy.
It is.
Well, there's my hateful rant on the Insane Clown Posse. You think that people will appreciate it?
I think so.
Well, there's plenty to hate. There's plenty of definitely hate, but you know what? They're in the business of hate, so...
I just feel bad for them.
You do?
I do.
They have money. They do well. Why do you feel bad for them?
Because, you know, I read an article about their whole conversion to quote-unquote, not conversion to Christianity, but just about their God-centric message. And, you know, the guys are on, like, antidepressants and anti-anxiety things, and they're obviously feeling castigated by everybody fucking attacking them over this song that they did. And I just, you know, I feel bad for them.
They were having these panic attacks, actually, before this.
Yeah, I know, but just in general, I feel bad for them.
I actually think that the reason they were probably having panic attacks is, having done a bit of research about what the shows are like, I think you can only take so much aggression without your body essentially starting to have nothing but fear.
I think you can only take so much hate from a general, you know, it's one of those things that people don't think about celebrities, is that, you have a, you know, people love you, but there's a lot of people who also hate you. And especially if you're in a niche that has some crossover appeal, imagine how much hate these guys get. So that's where I just feel kind of bad, and where I say it's like making fun of a fucking 6-year-old kid for singing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, how they have to wonder what they are. It's like, we know, you fucking retard. Read a goddamn book. It's like, it's your first forays into wonder. And yes, even idiots will start to wonder about some things, and we should encourage that. And yes, they are distrustful of science, and yes,
that's
they will probably never get anywhere.
That's a terrible start, in fact. It's like, oh, yes, they're distrustful of science and will never learn anything, but stop being mean. No. No, maybe eventually they'll get it. It's like, you know, that whole depression that you have, it's because you feel bad that everyone realizes how dumb you are. That's a problem, but it's luckily a problem you can fix. Just read a stupid fucking book, dude. Just open it up, read it from fucking cover to cover. Amazing things will happen. You'll actually fill your brain with facts. Just amazing. It's amazing. Okay, you know what? I guess we're going to call that a show. And it looks like the people have spoken. I put up a poll a little while ago on the website asking, hey, when do you guys want to have the radio show?
Mm-hmm.
And overwhelmingly, it was Tuesday and Thursday that won the day. What we had originally done, and I know it sucks.
Jesus. That's what I wanted it to be.
That's what you wanted it to be?
That's what I wanted it to be.
You didn't want to do the weekend one or something like that.
God, no.
Well, it turns out that everybody who listens, again, the majority of you are commuters that just listen to us. And if we lived in a world where you didn't need to commute, we would be out of listeners.
Thank God for bad traffic zones.
Right, because it turns out that no one can actually put the time in to listen while not commuting. So we will submit to your commuting needs. We will be that podcast that fills your commuting pleasure. And hopefully you're going to have a fantastic Friday for all of you early listeners as we're putting this up. Right now it's Thursday night, but yay, you got your Friday, man. It's totally made, and you're going to go home or go to work having totally released all your frustration vicariously through me, if that's something that you dig. Hopefully you do. And hopefully in the future, at the end of this month, I've asked people, don't, you know, you can get a membership, but I've just, you know, I'm trying to get prove myself, and I really don't mind if you guys are saying, like, let's give the month of October to see if Jacob gets his shit together, and then we'll get a membership. And hopefully that's the way it's going to roll out. And I thank you in advance for your patronage. It's that simple. Without you guys, this would not be possible.
It really wouldn't.
I hate to sound like the PBS guy, but it's really viewers like you.
So long as we don't have one of those shows where we hijack all the topics, we'll only talk about evolution after we get $600.
That's pretty bold. I don't think there's any topic anyone wants to listen that's worth that much money. I can't think of anything. Okay, well, with that, my name is Jacob Forte.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
Have a good Atheist Day, everybody.